Come, I've explained that. All the believers are meeting together in one place. I think I'm reading mine from the New Living Translation today. Verse 2. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared to settle on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now listen to this. And began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. So I talked about when this happened. They're in this festival, the celebration of a festival. The 50th day had come. On that 50th day, it's a reminder of the Passover. Remember, Jesus was crucified at Passover time. He ascended 40 days after his resurrection, and the Holy Spirit came on day 50. Here's what happened. A group of people were together, at least 11 of the disciples and 109 other people that we know of. We're in a room praying together. They came out of the room and they go into the streets where this festival is happening. You read all these different international cultures that were there. They came from all over to celebrate this. And they joined this international crowd, this international festival. The believers came out of this prayer room when they were praying together, and they started speaking these languages that people could understand. And they're like, how do they know my language? This is kind of weird. These people, they've probably been drinking. That's what they said. It's written in Acts chapter 2. They were amazed, and they thought they were drunk. It's interesting. Then Peter, after all this, gives a speech. We use the word a sermon, okay? And he was talking through the power of the Holy Spirit about a new revolution. The result of Peter's sermon was this, that 3,000 people accepted Christ or became followers of the way of Jesus Christ. And the church had its beginning. And what's interesting about that is because people were all over from this intercultural platform, is it resulted in a worldwide harvest. They all kind of went back to where they were, and the church began through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want to take a closer look at this revolutionary event and exactly what caused it to happen. Did you notice when we were reading that it said that they were meeting together? Or some of your Bibles say they were all together. They were all not the same, but they were all unified. They were in the same place, working toward the same purpose. Acts chapter 1, verse 14, talks about this being a regular occurrence. It says they all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. This is probably the same main group of people. Men, women, the mother of Jesus, these disciples, they gathered together in this room and they were praying, and they were doing that because they always did that. It was routine for them. We gather together, no judgment. I'm not better than you. You're not better than me. Here's the disciples. Here's women. Here's men. Let's call on God together. Let's seek his face. Let's strive to know him. In that practice, the Bible uses an interesting word, suddenly, all of a sudden, or there was a suddenly sound, and however your version explains it. And I've kind of mulled over that verse. It wasn't like it came out of nowhere, but it just all of a sudden, it just happened here. Right now, it all kind of came to a head, is what that really is telling us. They were practicing normal behavior, praying together, doing what they were supposed to be doing, not judging one another, calling on God, and then at a particular time, God met with them collectively. All of the sudden, there was a sound, listen to the words, from heaven, a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. You ever lay in your bed at night and you're wondering if that tree is going to fall on your house and crackling on the windows, and there's this sound. And here's what happened. I'm not sure that there was a windstorm that was happening, but if you're writing this down on paper, like, how do you describe it? It's like there's this windstorm that was happening, and things were happening everywhere, and I could tell God was moving, and that's what was being written. It said this, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. The whole place was filled. What they're saying is everyone was aware. It kind of overwhelmed everything right there. In their faithfulness and in their unity, something was happening. All of a sudden, they knew what was going on. And it said it filled the whole house. Everyone was included. Everyone was a part of what was going on. They were already investing collectively, and God showed up collectively. It's kind of, you reap what you sow. So this is written down, and how do you write this down? And it appears to me, how do I describe this? It's like a tongue of fire showed up on everybody. So he starts to describe this as he writes the book of Acts. Why did he use those words? It goes all the way back to God's word. Listen to Luke's gospel, chapter 3, verse 16. John answered their questions by saying, I baptize you with water, but someone is coming who is greater than I am. So much greater that I'm not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That's the word that John the Baptist used. He said, he would baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Let's look back at the Old Testament, the book of Joel. Then after doing all of those things, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on your servants, men and women alike. So these people are like, wait a minute, this is where men and women are. Like, this is what's happening. They recognize that there's fulfillment in what was happening. And so they're getting excited. Like, this is it. This is like a tongue of fire landing on us. It wasn't weird. It was what they read. It's what they knew. It's what they were taught. So some people feel like, boy, this Pentecostal thing, I'm not really sure about that. It's kind of weird. And all we're saying is God said it would happen, and it did. So you might ask, why tongues of fire? Let's dig just a little deeper. I'm going to say it like this. You can give me your 2 cents later. I'll give you my 2 cents now for free. Okay, ready? Why tongues? One, I believe it symbolizes speech. Okay, that's why it's evidenced in speech. It also involves speech because the power is to communicate the gospel. That's why that word tongue, I believe, is part of the description. Fire symbolizes the purifying presence of God. Now let's go back to the history lesson, and this might tie it together too. Mount Sinai, the giving of the commandments. Remember this? It was validated with fire from heaven. Now listen to it described in Exodus chapter 19. On the morning of the third day, thunder roared and lightning flashed, and a dense cloud came down on the mountain. There was a long, loud blast from a ram's horn, and all the people trembled. Moses led them out from the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. All of Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in the form of fire. The smoke billowed into the sky like smoke from a brick kiln, and the whole mountain shook violently. Now, I'm going to tell you how that is important to us. In Mount Sinai, giving of the Ten Commandments, the Lord appeared in the form of fire at one place. Let's walk over here to that upper room. The Lord appeared in what seemed to be like tongues of fire in 120 places. It was a revolution. It was no more an event built on a hierarchy. Here's the rule. Here's what you need to do to measure up. It's the Holy Spirit is now given to you. The Holy Spirit is resting on you. It's on all of you. That's what this is about. It was this whole revolutionary way of thinking. And so what happened immediately, the purpose of the Holy Spirit was realized in that city when 3,000 people were saved. So at that time, all of them were filled. Now, Pentecostal does not mean that you do weird or silly things. It does not mean that you have to follow a certain list of rules and make yourself socially awkward. It does not mean any of that. Some Pentecostal denominations might be more conservative than others. Quite frankly, that's probably wise. Some Pentecostal denominations are a little more expressive than others. You know, as long as you're genuine before the Lord, I don't have any problem with that either. But Pentecostal means that we fully recognize the real power, the certain power of the Holy Spirit of God, and that we live in this time period that the Holy Spirit is operating in between the cross and the return of Christ. That's what Pentecostal is. Everyone all right? The Holy Spirit was given to believers for this time period to be supernaturally empowered to spread the good news of Jesus. Peter's sermon, after preaching, here's what the people asked him. If you want to thumb through this, drop all the way down to Acts chapter 2, verse 37. So Peter preaches and things are happening, and these people say this, "What should we do? All right, pastor, you've been preaching for a long time. What do you want me to do with all of this information?" So he had an answer. Here's what he said. "Each one of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children and even to the Gentiles, all who have called by the Lord." Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all the listeners, "Save yourself from this crooked generation." Then the believers, or then those who believed what Peter said and were baptized were added to the church that day. It was about 3,000 in all. So it's kind of like today. Let's spare ourselves from this crooked generation. Let's follow God and be baptized and let's propagate the good news of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit, now you might have seen things, you might have heard things, you might have participated and experienced things. You know, oftentimes people are filled with the Holy Spirit and they speak a language that they don't know. Sometimes they fall down, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they kneel on their face before God, sometimes they don't. But if it's Pentecostal, it will result in people meeting Jesus. And I think that's one of the things that historically Pentecostal denominations walk away from. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, and he gifted us with his Holy Spirit to fulfill that purpose. That's what it's all about. There are some benefits of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to quickly mention three of them. The list is long. But the Holy Spirit guides believers into truth. Jesus said in John 16, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak of his own, but will tell you of what he has heard. He will tell you about the future." Not only does the Holy Spirit guide you in truth, but the Holy Spirit refreshes us every day. He refreshes us with hope and with love every day. Romans 5:5, Paul wrote it down. He said, "And this hope will not lead us to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loved us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love." But the greatest benefit of the Holy Spirit is a certain power to tell others about Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of times, have you ever prayed this prayer? "Lord, just give me an opportunity today to tell someone about you." Quite frankly, we probably can recognize all the opportunities. What we need is the power to act on them. We need the power of God's Holy Spirit to take advantage of those opportunities. If you want to say, "Well, what opportunity do I have?" Tell me the name of your neighbor, and if they don't know Christ, there's your opportunity. "Well, I don't know their name." Find it out. Maybe they're already saved. Maybe they're not. I don't know. I mean, all of us have family members that don't know Christ. All of us have friends and neighbors. Come on, the opportunity's there. But if the Holy Spirit gives us confidence, So maybe you're like these people that heard Peter's message. Remember what they said is, "So what do we want us to do about it?" Peter had an answer. Well, maybe today you're thinking, okay, nice history lesson, nice discussion about the revolution. You tied it in pretty creatively with the revolution of the Holy Spirit. Okay, pastor, I almost see some of you already. What do you want me to do about it? I'm so glad that you asked. I'm so glad that some of you are on the edge of your seat because I have an answer for you today as well. I want to behave just like I read about these people in the upper room behaving. I want to pray together. In unity, with the same focus. I just want to be together and call on him. What does that mean? That does not mean, you know, maybe we could define it like this. We could have our pastors and our elders and our staff and our children and our youth and our men and our women all together in one place. And the other story, it was men and women and Mother of Jesus and disciples, right? We have our own lists. Let's just be together. Let's call on God together, asking for our purpose to be fulfilled, to share the good news. Here's what I realized today at the 9 o'clock prayer time. I was praying, and here's the picture, I guess, that came on my mind. In the upper room, they were all together praying, like they always had done, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit came on them. Well, I thought, I wonder if we were all together praying, maybe the Holy Spirit would come on us. Like, it's not just some magic formula, but let's work together. You know, here's something that's significant. One of the results after this massive people got saved, they didn't know how to behave together. And then we read how they did that in Acts chapter 2. It's verses 42 to 47. You can take that home and kind of read through that and study that. Most weeks I give you one of those nuggets to take home and read farther. And if you read through that, you'll realize, man, that's where we got our strategy for ministry at Pathway Church from. It talks about worshiping God and connecting and growing and serving and going. That's what they do. You know that strategy as a result of Pentecost? And what I want to make sure we don't miss is the very foundation that causes that strategy. So what do I want us to do? I want us to pray together and be filled with His Holy Spirit. Now, some of you, you might say, you know, I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. I might be interested if it's real. Well, today, maybe that'll happen for you. Some of you might say, you know, I've been filled, but it's been a really long time since that's happened to me, or since I've spoken in another language, or however you want to describe it. Maybe today that will happen to you. But here's what I want to do. I'm going to ask that our worship team would come to the front, and they're going to play some music. They're going to lead us in a quiet time of worship. And what I'd like for us to do, I just want to explain this to you, is I want you to think about joining us in praying all together. And however we're ready for, that's where the Holy Spirit, that's the measure the Holy Spirit will be given to us. But I believe on some level the Holy Spirit will be given to us. Now I don't know what it will look like. Maybe it will be quiet and private. Maybe something's going to happen here that will change the history of our church forever. I don't know what will happen today. All I know, with integrity, we're going to pursue God. We're going to pray together in unity. No judgment. I'm not better than you. You're not better than me. And we're gonna listen. See, when we do that, when we seek the Lord that way, the result is powerful. In a congregational manner, He will send His Holy Spirit to us. And it will result in the spreading and proclamation of Jesus Christ. People in Gahanna, people on this side of Columbus, people in Reynoldsburg and Blacklick and Westerville, all these areas around here, whatever cities and towns you live in, all the way out, Pickerington, Pataskala, wherever, people are going to know Jesus Christ because we're open to the movement of His Holy Spirit. That's the result. The result is more people in the kingdom. That's what it's about. So I guess my question is, do you want to be part of this time in history where God said the Holy Spirit is for you and this is your source of power to proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ? If that's you, then you're a candidate to participate today. Could you all across the room stand to your feet? While you're standing, I'm going to spend about 10 seconds explaining this. And you know, we have some elders at our church, and we have some honorary elders at our church, people that are pastors. And we want those folks to help us pray for you today. And you might not be one of those. You might not be a pastor or an elder. And you're thinking, well, can I pray for people? Sure you can. You can come and pray with people. And I'll just kind of train our church to know that although God will use us all, and maybe God will really use a brother or sister in Christ to minister to you, and we promote that, you can have confidence that when one of our pastors or one of our elders prays with you, that they've had training. It's just like me praying for you. You know, and you couple that with brothers and sisters in Christ praying for you, man, we have a great opportunity here to hear from God. So if you think, wow, the elders are coming and the pastors, well, that's great. That's part of how we do it. And if you want to pray by yourself or with someone else, then you can understand that. And that's fine. We're one body here serving one Lord. But I want to tell you that I believe we have an opportunity. I know this part might seem a little long in my speech, but our opportunity is this: to respond to what the Lord is doing right now. If we do it now, I believe he's going to move us forward at a quicker rate than we've even realized is going to happen. If we don't do it now, we'll be on that path. It'll just be delayed a little bit. This is what's next. Understanding that dynamic power of the Holy Spirit of God. That's what's next. So what we're not going to do is we're not going to seek some kind of language. We're not going to seek some type of posture. We're going to be all together and just seek God. Pray for God's will to be done. Pray for us to be sensitive to Him. In whatever form that looks like, I pray that the Holy Spirit comes on this church. That's the power. That's where the power is. So today, if you want to say, you know what, I just want to spend a couple minutes. I want to pray in that vein. I want to pray together with my other believers in this room. I want you to step out of your seat and just walk to the front and join me. I'm going to step down just to be with you. So if that's you, I want to be part of that. I just want to pray together with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I want you to step out of where you are and join me to the front. Join me in the front. Some of you might think, okay, I'm here on this day, you're talking about the Holy Spirit, I'm a little nervous, I don't know what this is about. There's nothing, we're not looking for anything other than to do what the Bible said, to pray together. And if the Holy Spirit comes on us in a way that seems unusual to you, I'll receive it if that's the way He chooses to move. He may or may not do that, I don't know. But if you're hungry for Him, the Bible says He would fill you. If you long for Him, He will meet you where you are. So if you would, just spend some moments together. And let's use this topic. Let's just use a topic right now of prayer.